Get your gear ready. This is a Sherpa's Guide to Innovation.
You have made a great choice because you're listening to A Sherpa's Guide to Innovation, a podcast dedicated to guiding you along your innovation expedition. I am your Sherpa host, Ben Tingey. Thanks for tuning in today. My objective today is to increase your creative confidence. So we've brought in Charlotte's resident creative champions to the studio today. Our guests are Matt Olin and Tim Miner, co-founders of Charlotte is Creative. Matt hosts Creative Morning and Tim helps with social media stuff, among many other things. Matt and Tim, welcome to A Sherpa's Guide to Innovation podcast.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Ben, thanks for having us here.
Awesome. We're over the moon to be talking with you this morning. Thanks so much for coming. Now, here's my spiel for our listeners, asking you to subscribe and share and rate and review and all that. But really, we'd love to engage with you over Twitter on our new handle, at SherpaPod. So check us out on Twitter. And we'd encourage you to listen to all the other great podcasts on the Health Podcast Network on Twitter at HealthPodNet. But let us begin. Matt and Tim, are you guys ready to dive in?
Ready as we'll ever be.
Yeah. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be. All right. All right. Let's start with a fill in the blank. We like to do this question with people that come in. So we'll start with Matt. I wanted to be a blank when I grew up. Now I'm a blank and they both blank.
Oof. Well, depends on what age we're talking about.
Sure.
But I wanted to be, you're going to be surprised by this, Tim. I wanted to be a cartoonist when I grew up.
Huh.
Yep.
How old were you when that was your goal?
This was when I was in the fifth grade. I was creating my own little, doodling my own little characters. Okay. So I wanted to be a cartoonist when I grew up, but now I'm the co-founder of a nonprofit. And they both have to use quite a bit of imagination to bring things into reality.
Terrific.
I'm struck. That's great. Dumb silence here.
I know you
never
know
seen you draw it.
But
anything.
It never led to anything in that realm, right? No, there's no. I have no drawing talent whatsoever.
But the creativity impulse is there.
The creativity impulse is there,
like,
and that was just one way that it was trying to work its way out.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like, this is not the crack that's going to give way here. So
wow.
Then I pivoted over to acting.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Tim, what can you bring
here? Well, I think this is interesting given given what I'm about to say. So my lifelong goal was to be a comic book writer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I held on to that dream for quite some time. But now I'm what I would term a creative troublemaker. And that's just to try to encourage creative people to pull it on as many strings and indulge as many creative whims as they can, as intelligently as they can. So the way those work together is to unleash people's superpowers, right? So that help people discover their origin story and then team up with other creatives to do amazing things.
Oh, this is going to be good. I'm excited about this.
I have a little bit starting out really well. Matt can tell you though, I have the nerd cred on comic book writer.
This is one of the things I knew you were going to be surprised by my answer is because I've known forever that you grew up loving comic books and you actually know, you have a deep well of knowledge around the comic world. Uh-huh. And I never mentioned to you that for a brief moment I wanted to be in.
And how similar they are. That's so interesting.
I know. Yeah. Well, and that has, I think, as we dive into this, Matt and I met in high school and we've just gotten along and worked well together since then. And we have complementary skills. I wouldn't say that we're alike. In fact, people that have known us a long time, we had one of our roommates from college was like, I can't believe you're still friends even, let alone that you're working together. But we just have skills that kind of work together well and to produce results. So.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
outstanding.
It's like HR Tetris. Like they're the two pieces are actually opposite of each other, but they fit together, perfectly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
We are already not on our best behavior. Like, this is Ben's podcast, and we're like looking at each other and just driving the questions. We're going to kick it back to you.
This is great.
This is why we don't appear together very often anymore.
I think this next question is actually teed up perfectly. So if we were shooting the origin story for you and Matt, how would you guys – what would if it was a documentary, like – Who would be the actors portraying you? What would it include? What's the
so this would be one of those documentaries story. Where you actually hire actors to reenact portions that you know of, oh my. Of the story. I think I'd have to be an early. Maybe John Cusack? Is that who?
Oh, wow. You're being generous to yourself. Wow. I think Paul Lind, I think, yeah. You see, would play Matt in the documentary. John Cusack. Well, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger would clearly play me. John Cusack.
All right, I'll go with Paul Lind. That's fine.
I was going to say, like, Mickey Rooney for me.
Okay, so you have us cast as Mickey Rooney and Paul Lynn.
Yeah.
So, okay. No one under the age of 45 will have any idea who these people are.
All right. I don't know what to say.
So what's the origin story then? So, I mean, so you guys went to school together, and then Matt, you got into acting, and then
so that's actually
Charlie's
how we
creative.
Met.
There's probably a lot in between there, right?
There's a lot in between there. And so, yeah, as Tim was going to say, like, we started out in high school, we met in line for auditioning for a production of 10 Little Indians at Charlotte Catholic High School. Shout out to Dottie Tippett, our drama teacher.
Yeah, we would not be here today if it weren't for Dottie Tippett.
And we became fast friends really quickly, just cutting up, trying to figure out who could make the other person laugh harder. And then we ended up doing other shows in high school and just, you know, using the stage as a place to cut up and create great friends. We were theater rats. We loved hanging out with all the theater people.
And I think we were frustrated. That was in the days where it was like Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman and Mike Myers. It was, you know, really a great time in SNL, and we would break those down. Like, other kids were breaking down the football game they watched that weekend. Like, our group of friends, we were kind of taking Saturday Night Live and deconstructing it. Like, what was your favorite skit? Can we redo it? What would you do if you had a skit? And then Matt is a year older than I am. So he left. He graduated and went to Chapel Hill for college. And I mean, we stayed in touch. But, I mean, you were in college and I was in high school. So you don't – you know, it was in the days before email and cell phones and all that. And then I chose to go to Carolina and went potluck in the roommate, you know, pool. And in a school that size, we were given rooms in suites right next to one another.
That still blows me away when I think about
it. Really, mathematically, it's virtually impossible. It's highly improbable that would happen. So it just did kind of feel like, well, all right, the universe kind of wants this to happen. And given that we had a lot more freedom in college, and we dove in and from directing plays to writing together to working on other people's creative projects, that's where we really learned, okay, we can work together. Like, it's not just cutting up. It's actually having an objective, figuring out how to get there and moving in that direction.
Yeah.
So then at that point, I mean, once we graduated, you know, we kind of started to go separate ways professionally. So I moved to New York to pursue an MFA in theater producing at Columbia, and then ended up working on Broadway theater for a while. Broadway, off-Broadway, national tours, regional theater. But I was also producing stuff in hotel rooms and warehouses. And, I mean, I would produce theater wherever I could. And meanwhile, you know, Tim was starting to develop what would turn out to be a long and celebrated marketing career with lots of different companies.
Yeah, I moved back to Charlotte and told my parents, all right, don't get used to me being here. I can't stand Charlotte. And realized that it's a very different place as an adult than it is as a high school student. And then graduated making marketing and promoting Charlotte as my business. So I work for Charlotte Center City Partners, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is now the CRVA agencies, and just kind of really got invested in the creative climate of Charlotte until, dun, 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 you know, we both became dads, and that's a wonderful thing. But our focus, I think, in both of our cases kind of shifted a little bit more inward to taking care of our families and raising kids and all that kind of stuff. I, for one, was not as invested and involved for about 10 years in the creative life of Charlotte as I had been before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, meanwhile, I met my wife in New York. We had our daughter, and in around 2012, 2013, we decided, you know what, it's time for a new chapter. I had a show that I had conceived and developed that was running on Broadway, but had just posted its closing notice. It had been nominated for a Tony, which was cool, but it was also closing, which is an interesting sort of dichotomy. And we just felt, I felt like it was the perfect end of that chapter and the beginning of a brand new chapter. And so gratefully, I convinced my wife, Sarah, that we were, it was time to move back home to Charlotte. We could be near family, have that support of a larger family structure. And so Tim and I just picked up where we left off and started looking for, consciously or unconsciously, the next creative project for us to work on. And that became Creative Mornings Charlotte. So
yeah.
I think we just sort of recapped like 20 years of history in about 10 minutes.
That was
it's not
actually,
terrible.
It's fairly disciplined.
It's not bad.
That was good.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I think both of us, especially with where we were when we got the chapter of Creative Mornings, was missing that creative partnership, that riffing, you know, so much. Matt and I talk a lot about this, but so much of what you do as an adult is transactional. You know, you're at point A, you have to move to point C with you know, B resources, right? It's a very linear existence. And there's not as much tolerance or place as an adult for just doing things that are creative or imaginative or fun, and then they're purposeless, right? And we felt like we had missed that. And when with Creative Mornings, we had an opportunity to do something that we didn't see in the Charlotte marketplace, which was to create a gathering of people who just love being creative or love the idea of being creative. Because a lot of people, if they don't have a creative profession, think, well, I'm not creative. But they have those latent abilities in there that need to be.
They need the outlet.
They mm-hmm. absolutely do. And mm-hmm. so we were like, okay, can we pull people together and just get them excited and highlight the things that are going on here for that purpose only? To not, you know, if people exchange business cards, if they end up getting a great client out of it, if we become more successful because of it, so be it. But let's just do it. And we joked around, like, even if we're the only people that are there, let's put together an event that we would enjoy. And it. That was it. That was our only intention. It was never to start a nonprofit. It was never to have five projects that we conceived of and started, but it has been the impetus for all of that.
Yeah.
It's been really exciting to see.
Well, let's talk more about that. So you have Creative Mornings that you've talked about, but within your Charlotte is Creative umbrella network, you have other programs and projects. So talk to me a little bit more about some of those things and their purpose and how people can learn more about them.
Sure. So obviously there's Creative Mornings, which is a free monthly event where we're celebrating the creative spirit of Charlotte. Also under the Charlotte is Creative nonprofit umbrella, in addition to that, we have the Queen City Quiz Show, which won a Knight Cities Challenge grant back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And essentially it is a live traveling game show about the past and present of Charlotte, designed to kind of inject fun and interaction and camaraderie and connection yeah. into this idea of learning about our city so that we are then more sort of better poised to shape its future, if you will.
Yeah, it was our way to kind of upend community engagement, which oftentimes looks like going to school or sitting in class. So if you want people to know vital things about Charlotte, then you say, okay, well, come to this community meeting with lousy coffee and overhead lighting and uncomfortable seats. And we were like, well, can we do something different with that? So it was, can we have fun and make it kind of a zany game show that mixes in some pretty vital statistics with a few antics and laughs?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, we were supposed to, our first flight, we were supposed to do five of those and we did 15.
Yeah.
And then now it's not a monthly thing. It kind of moves along. We add it to nonprofit events, or we get brought in to do it privately. But we use those tactics almost every day that we developed yeah. Through that program.
I would say that the Queen City Quiz Show was the first example of the energy of Creative Mornings starting to find its way outside yeah. of the Creative Mornings room and turn into other initiatives or other experiments. I mean, it is wholly Susan Patterson's fault, the former Charlotte director yeah. of the Knight Foundation here, and that role is now occupied by Charles Thomas. But Susan saw the energy that was brewing in these monthly rooms at Creative Mornings and said, can you push it further? How much further can you push this? I want to see ideas submitted. And so that began the sort of trend to a certain extent of people, of our fellow colleagues and citizens pushing us to say, like, there, you've tapped into something. How far can you push this? How far can you extend the reach and the impact throughout our community? And so that then led to other initiatives. It led to this idea of the HUG microgrant program. That is, HUG stands for Helpful Unfettered Gift. And we give out 8 to 10 HUGs every month to individuals and entities, both for-profit and not-for-profit, that have a creative idea, creative notion, a project, initiative that needs a little nudge and needs a little love bomb of cash to sort of move it forward. And that's what that program is all about, is these little sparks that we're trying to set around the city, and some will go out and some will rage up, and that's what we want.
Yeah, so a HUG is $250, and we developed it again thanks to the gracious donations of our sponsors. Although we thought originally we'd give one away a month, mm-hmm. and after the very first month we had enough to do four, just because people heard about it, got excited about it. But it was oftentimes established grant systems are too big for the average person, right? So they're a little intimidating in that the paperwork to apply to one is challenging. It's time consuming. It requires almost like a technical proficiency to write.
You need a grant writer. Professional.
You do, and you need a good grant writer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like scientific writing. You have to know which words to use and that trip the right tumblers. The second thing is that a lot of times grants are way more money than people want or need. That sounds ridiculous because the prevailing thought is you go for as much as you can get. But Matt and I can say, like, when we got our Knight Foundation grant, he and I were so used to doing things on, on a shoestring, that when we got $86,000 to do the quiz show, and I thought I was going to throw up. Like, we were like, what?
By the way, we spent every dime of that money.
We did. But it was more, it was an embarrassment of riches because we were used to getting, doing a lot, making $5, as we say, look like $500. Turns out that we were one of the smallest grant-funded programs of that year.
We under-asked.
We learned a big lesson there. But point being, it was intimidating, and nobody was there to say, okay, here's how you responsibly spend this money. But for $250, that's enough to kind of nudge someone forward, and we've joked that you just need that, like, in the way that people delay exercising or losing weight, they come, oh, it's a Wednesday, I should start my exercise regimen on a Monday, or, oh, it rained yesterday. I know all the excuses to not get in shape, but people do the same thing with pursuing a creative idea. Mm-hmm. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if people don't like it? What if it's too complicated? And what we try to use the microgrant to do is just remove one objection. So if you're mm-hmm. saying, I don't have enough money to boost my post on Facebook so people come, I guess I might as well do it. But here's your $250. Put it into advertising. No, I can't get my legal status. Here's $250 to go pay to be incorporated mm-hmm. for your thing. We've given out over 150 of those, again, wow. thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. And we've seen HUG grantees team up, and do really amazing things.
Well, so. What did you call them? Side hugs?
Yeah. So we have this little known little sidetrack called side hugs, where if you've gotten or received a HUG grant and you decide to collaborate, to team up with another HUG grant recipient, and this is a way to sort of encourage collaboration, then you can reapply for a side hug, which is a second $250 to help nudge along that new collaborative project.
Yeah. Well, there's something about, as you said, the $250, there's some psychology. I'm sure there's something behind it because, like you said, it's enough to be meaningful, but it's not too much where it becomes overwhelming. And
right.
one of the mantras that we have in innovation is just start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And $250 is plenty to just start with
right.
whatever your idea is to pick up some momentum. Because once you have that momentum, then you're going to be able to move it forward and but you just need to get from stuck to start. And
right. Well, it's also amount where if we were giving out $10,000 at a clip or even $5,000, like it is responsible that there would need to be a lot of framework around it and reporting and all of that.
Yeah.
With $250, it's not so – it's significant enough to make something happen, but it doesn't require to turn the screws on somebody. I mean, and there have been people that applied for one thing and used it for another or what have you, but it did accomplish something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it comes with a free side of validation. That's kind of what we're learning is almost even more valuable than the $250 is that pat on the back that says, you know, that crazy idea that you've been having, we actually don't think it's that crazy. And so we've had a number of HUG grant recipients, or as we call them, Huggies.
Yep.
Come up to us
and
say...
That's funny to me as a father with a two-month-old right now.
So you're very familiar with Huggies.
Yeah, and that is we are making money off the HUG program in no way, so please don't serve us a cease and desist.
That's right. But, you know, as they say, you know, of course the $250 meant a lot and removed this particular obstacle or what have you, but it was even more so that validation that got me going that was probably even more valuable to them, I guess.
Yeah. And you also have the Biscuit, which is your kind of multimedia platform, I guess.
So as we worked on all these programs, particularly with Creative Mornings, we just kept uncovering more and more creatives and creative endeavor, you know, out there. And we believe we're trying to share, you know, change the Charlotte narrative. Business and banking and financial prowess is important to a city, and we need it. We need it from a resource standpoint. But it's not the end of the story. And there are untapped reservoirs of innovation, creativity, color, vibrancy, diversity, and life here in Charlotte that for whatever reason we weren't reading about in established media sources in Charlotte, or we were reading about them in amounts that were, we don't think, sufficient enough to change the story. And so for us to continue our message of that Charlotte is creative, to tell the stories of the Huggies that we're working with, the people we encounter at Creative Mornings, we decided to start our own media channel. So the Biscuit is 3 times a week. We send out a newsletter with stories of the people that are undertaking creative endeavors in Charlotte, what they're doing, and also, more importantly, the conditions that are necessary for them to continue to do their work. But because Matt and I are who we are, and we believe that in the Mary Poppins rule that a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, it has a lot of humor and a little bit of irreverence and us kind of poking fun at Charlotte a little bit. And we do that through prose content. We have a video that comes out once a week that usually lampoons some aspect of Charlotte life a little bit. And then we have podcasting just like this, where we gives us a chance to kind of dive in a little bit deeper and get to know the people that are making the murals or creating the events or brewing the beer, and ask them, why do you do this? Like, what is it inside that makes you want to give this to Charlotte? And then what do we need to do to make sure that you continue to do that?
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Just spotlighting all the great work.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. It gives us an opportunity, like, to, if you're sitting at a table with somebody and they have an incredible idea or they have a great story, probably in the same way that you can do it, right? You can say, you know what? I love your story, and I have a means by which I can help tell you your story. Mm. That empowers you to empower them. And with us, as we're talking to people, if we didn't have the Biscuit, we'd be, you know, I'll put you in touch with this person, or it puts us in a PR role. Like, you know, I think I know a TV producer that might be interested in that. And we still do that, but it also gives us a chance to say, you know what? I know 2 guys that have a media channel that would love to tell your story right now. And then that gives them an asset they can use, and it gives us another great story that we can use to make the case that creativity is a key to Charlotte's future, not only in attracting and retaining residents, but in giving the businesses here that are already successful a workforce that believes in its own ability, believes in its own ability to create or innovate. That's key to our future. So there's a real business aspect, too, of why we tell the stories that we tell.
Yeah. What impact have you seen from this work? Do you have any stories of whether it's from the HUG micro grants or from Creative Mornings where you've been able to catalyze or spark some of the collaborations that you're hoping to achieve?
So one that comes to mind is through Creative Mornings, you know, we have live music at every event. And one of our HUG grantees, Emily Sage, teamed up with another HUG grantee whose name is Greg Cox. They, in turn, teamed up with another HUG grantee named Sarah Collet to create, or I guess in their case, augment the CLT Loft Sessions, which are these really cool cultivated music events around town. But because of being able to put them up a little bit, Jason Hausman, who's a local sound producer, musician, kind of just savant. I mean, this guy is a genius. He was approached by Ray Ward, who's one of our sponsors, that they wanted some music for a GE commercial. He chose to bring Emily in. And as they wrote the track for this commercial, which is a nationwide commercial, they were like, we like this so much, we want to release this single. And then they were like, well, we need something. So they reached out to Young Citizen, who's a rapper who has also performed at Creative Mornings, and that's how they got to know him. So the three of them cut an LP, an EP together that went live on Spotify and Apple Music 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So that's just one example.
That's a great example. And it just illustrates the web of connections that begins to form when you gather together with your fellow citizens and with your fellow creatives. And that's what brings us the most joy. When I walk into 7th Street Market and I see two heads of two meaningful nonprofits in town meeting, and they call me over and they say, we met at Creative Mornings and that's why we're having coffee right now, that makes my month to hear that.
I would say one other thing that we were very surprised about, and that's a key with Matt and I, is we had one good idea that then led to other people to push us into other good ideas. Like, we didn't intend any of this to end up here. We're happy that it did.
Well, I'll ask this question. So if someone were experiencing a Creative Mornings event for the very first time, what would they experience? Paint us a word picture. What would it look like? Who are the people that would be there? What would it smell like? I mean, tell us a story about the context. What would their experience be?
So you're gonna walk in to any number of hopefully immersive venues that we've chosen. We tend to move this event around every month. So you're going to walk in and you're suddenly going to be met with these beaming, smiling faces. And these are incredible volunteers. I mean, we have an incredible team of volunteers who help us pull these events off each month, and are there really as the welcoming committee to say, we are so glad you're here. And that's just a key part of the experience. Everyone is creative and everyone is welcome. These are two of our mantras. Everyone is creative and everyone is welcome. And so we talk about this before the masses start showing up at each event. We say, make sure everyone feels welcome when they walk through that door and that we're glad they're there. You're also going to be, you know, smelling the delicious coffee and food that's being brought by the Community Culinary School of Charlotte, you know, because that's part of this free event too, is we get you caffeinated and feed you. And there may be others, maybe a few nonprofits or other sort of activations happening in the room too. And after that 30 minutes of mingling and music, you're going to be hearing Harvey Cummings and his band playing during that time as well. Then the show starts. We end up calling it a show. I mean, it's really a civics variety show is what we ended up calling it.
There you go. Now you've used the confluence of words I thought you were going to start with.
Yep.
The civics. Well, this is the copywriter, right?
That's right. The civics variety show. And so during the course of 75 minutes between 8:45 and 10 a.m., you're going to hear live music from local musicians. You're going to hear 30-second pitches by other people that are building things here in Charlotte. We're going to play a game and give some prizes away. We're going to give the hug grants away that month, and then some other surprises as well. And then ultimately, it all leads up to the kind of main event, which is a 15-minute talk by a local creative on a particular one-word theme that our other 206 Creative Mornings chapters around the world are also exploring in their communities. So it becomes a sort of global conversation around that word. And you know, one of the most fun things that Tim and I get to do is to really search for a local creative person who we think can bring a very special, meaningful, unique perspective on a word, on a theme that morning. And then we have you out the door at 10 a.m. and it's the best morning of your month. And you're going to be able to take all that creative energy that we've stirred up and bring it back to your work, to your projects, to your community, to your family, and to your life. I mean, that's really what we're hoping that happens, is you get to bring that home with you.
And hopefully we've instilled you with some wanderlust, because like one of our long-term goals is just to get people to explore Charlotte more, to get out of the 3 to 4, 5 mile radius around your house. The other thing Matt paints a highly competent picture of what we do.
I go for just competent. That's really all I'm looking for.
We're both. There's also a lot of laughs. I mean, the beauty of Creative Mornings is that no two chapters on the planet are alike. You're given a tremendous amount of latitude by New York, which is the home base for Creative Mornings, to build something that is not only reflective of what your town requires and needs and craves, but also the personality of the hosts. So some are much more, they're much more serious and directional. Others are, like St. Petersburg, Florida, they're very much on sustainability. So almost everything they do is not only sustainable, but they talk about sustainability. In our case, when we first got the chapter, we really clued in on that part of the manifesto, everyone is creative, because it was a particular frustration of ours growing up, even, that people put themselves in the I'm creative or I'm not creative. It's like a JV varsity type conversation. I'm not creative enough to call myself creative, so I'm just going to let it go. And we wanted people to believe, no, indulge that. It's a muscle. You got to work it. But we started Creative Mornings prior to some of the civic unrest in Charlotte, mm-hmm. and prior to not being political, but some of the atmosphere that's been created over the last few years, yep. where people don't necessarily feel welcome. And so we have gravitated over time to the latter half of the manifesto, which is everyone is creative and everyone is welcome. And that's really where we try to put a lot of our energy, that we draw people in and make them feel at home, whether it's with a heart-centered piece of content or a laugh. We try to do those things that bind people together. And Matt and I, at least we both particularly believe that there's nothing like, even think about when you're in a movie theater and everybody laughs at the same moment in a comedy. That's a unifying moment. That's a community moment. And we try to create some of those moments in every Creative Morning so that people look around and say, you may come from a different part of Charlotte, you have a different career, you don't look like me, but we're all bound together through this shared experience of living here.
Let's go into that a little bit deeper about crafting those moments and those experiences. So a lot of our listeners have to facilitate meetings of an innovation sort, design sessions or what have you. You are both expert facilitators. Matt, you're a producer on Broadway. What are some tips, tricks about facilitating, about how to create engaging conversations or atmospheres so that people are able to really contribute and think creatively and get people into that mindset? What advice would you offer?
Well, in addition to what Tim was saying, first and foremost, our go-to tool is laughter. We love to start to tenderize folks and get their guard down by just lightening the mood. I think by and large, you go to these these meetings and other events, and everyone takes themselves so seriously. Charlotte as a city often takes itself, I think, too seriously sometimes. So we're trying to bring a little levity to these gatherings. So that's one of our go-to tools. I would say another one is getting them feeling connected in some way. And if we're doing a smaller session with a company, for example, internally, and you don't have a room of 400 people, then there are certain exercises you can do to sort of pull people together and get them to realize that we have a lot more in common. I might work with you on the same floor, but there's so much about you as a person I don't know yet. And so the minute I start to recognize that we're connected on lots of different levels and we have a lot more in common than I thought, then those walls continue to come down and we get to collaborate more and work better together, I guess. Yeah. So laughter and connection is two of the big go-to sort of notes that we're always trying to hit.
Yeah, we get asked this question, as you can imagine, a good bit, and we asked it a lot, I think, before we were in this position. The first thing that I tell people is figure out where you're comfortable, right? If you're leading it, what do you like? What do you feel highly competent at doing? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times imitation is like the go-to, right? I think about Hollywood. As soon as like a movie like Speed comes out and it's a hit, then every suit in Hollywood is thinking, okay, how can I make the next Speed? And usually they're incompetent because it doesn't ring true for either who wrote it or directed it or what have you. So
it's not authentic.
It's not. And so for us, we leaned into laughter and a little bit of comedy because that's just how we're wired. But so find what feels authentic and real to you, and you'll know, your spider sense will, you know, kind of go off. And if, like, we one of the things that we do is we got really tired of just reading off the list of sponsors. You know, like, we would get up there and be like, thank you to Ortho Carolina and Crescent Communities and Four Eyes Production. I mean, that's just, it sucked all the energy out of the room. So we decided that we would start singing to our sponsors every month. So every month we write a parody song based on some kind of a rock song or pop song, and we change the lyrics so that we're thanking our sponsors. Are we good singers? No, we are horrible. Do we practice it? No, we do not. We did practice it once upon a time. And if you practice a song like that, you're not a good singer. You just look like a bad singer who thinks that they're a good singer.
That's right. That's right.
So this will get to my next point. But again, we just looked at it and said, what would make us feel more comfortable up there and having a good, clearly demonstrating that we're enjoying it and we're confident in what we're doing? Because that's a very sexy cologne. You know, that catches on. People, yeah, are like, okay,
if the audience they're picks having up a on good that.
Time. Right. And they key off that. If you're doing something that clearly, demonstrably, you don't seem to be enjoying, that's going to radiate out and they're not going to do that. So if you're a serious person, figure out a way to seriously convince people. If you're a more emotional person, share that. The next thing I'd say is be human. So and it's funny that we're here today because I just happened to hear a really interesting podcast on this yesterday. We tell our speakers, you know, who come and say, oh, I'm worried about looking stupid, because oftentimes we will pick people who are not accustomed to speaking. We tell people that the number one quality we look for in a creative morning speaker is reluctance, because a lot of times interesting people who are also reluctant have something of value to say. People that are over eager to like grab the microphone and talk on any given topic, they're getting something else out of that experience.
That's very perceptive.
But people will say, I'm nervous, and we joke around and say we will have made idiots of ourselves at least five times before you get up to the microphone. And so if we make a mistake or we're being silly, we just lean into that, and the audience can key in as long as the whole thing looks competent. And so there's a psychological experiment that's been duplicated many times, where they did an experiment where they took people in they had to talk about, like, you know, behind glass, you have people watching, and then you've got a round table of people talking about something. And some of them are competent and some of them are not competent on the topic. And then at some point, a competent person purposely spills coffee on themselves or makes a mistake. And then somebody who's not competent also makes a mistake. And what they've found time and time again is that the audience, or the people that observed it, when they asked them, who is the person that is the most appealing in that room? It was the person who demonstrated high competence in one area, but then had a very human moment, like spilling coffee on themselves, because it said that's an attainable, that person is not unapproachable.
It's relatable.
And
yeah.
So mm-hmm. we, some of the stuff that we do in our public gatherings is planned, where we make fun of, you know, we make fun of each other or we make fun of ourselves. Other times we make a honest mistake and we just call it out and own it and laugh at it and move on. And I do think that is an endearing quality that people want to see, that you know what you're doing, but that you're also human, because they can find themselves in that humanness.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say some of the probably the greatest moments of Creative Mornings that I can think of were all things that were not planned.
Well, I'm gonna ask two more questions, and these might get a little bit more serious, but I bet you guys will help make it fun. So there are a lot of workforce reports and a lot of consultants and news articles and everyone talking about how jobs are going to be lost from automation and AI and robots and all that stuff, and that the only remaining jobs will be those that have a more creative spin to it that really can't be done by a machine. For people who are insecure about their career prospects right now, who are maybe contemplating a change or who aren't sure what to do, what would you suggest that they do to get in touch with their creative side? I mean, obviously, attend Creative Mornings would be a great place to start, right? But what else could they do?
Well, I read a book called The $100 Startup a few years ago, And it was a pretty impactful read for me. And the gist of it is that you may have a job that you like, that you don't like. You may be considering a transition, or you may want to be an entrepreneur at some point, work for yourself. You can actually take baby steps in that direction by identifying something that you're passionate about. You know, I might be passionate about designing and building birdhouses, right? So just using that as an example, you just create a side hustle that you're doing for fun. Design some birdhouses, build the birdhouses, put up a single web page, and put a price on them, and just start putting your work out into the world. It's what you were talking about. It's just we talk about it internally too, this mantra of don't wait, create. Just if you feel like you want to do something creative, and even if it has nothing to do with your quote-unquote day job, just start doing it. And if you want to put it out in the world and see if you get some bites, there is story after story after story in that book of people that just started doing this on the side, and now they have these incredibly thriving, successful, creative businesses that they've built. They were able to leave that other job that they weren't necessarily feeling fulfilled at, and they're living these lives of, you know, doing what they love best and having a blast doing it. So I love this idea that you were speaking to earlier, which is like, you know, getting from stuck to start. You know, just start building, start creating, put it out in the world, and try to get plugged into a community like Charlotte's Creative or Creative Morning, so you know you're surrounded by others doing the same thing and you don't feel alone, and sort of takes the fear factor out of it a little
helpful.
Bit.
So two things real quickly. The first is just to change your notion of what the word creative or creativity means. Again, I think, and I can't speak to other cultures as much as, you know, the United States, but we have such a, you know, polarizing way of looking at things. Creative, not creative, you know.
Or good, confusing, like creativity means artistic.
Right. But I think it's a lot of times creativity is discussed as almost like this Jedi power that you're either born with or you're not. Everybody has it, and it's on a continuum. And to recast,
but like, it's not static. I mean, you can move up and down the continuum.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Like you said, it was a muscle that you can.
One of the best analogies I've heard. I went to Heroes Con a couple of years ago, and I really can't remember which artist it was, but it was one of the most celebrated kind of working comic book artists today. And his comment was, "Every artist has 10,000 bad drawings and bad sketches in them. Start now." Working them out. And so that's another way of saying just do. And over time, you're going to figure it out. But believe, and don't believe in this kind of dichotomy that it's you either are or you are not. And also the labels that are put on jobs, right? If you are an architect, is that a creative job? Yeah, absolutely. You envision what a three-dimensional structure could look like, and then you render it on paper. We had a guy at Creative Mornings come up and say, "I'm a nuclear physicist." Or no, he was a theoretical physicist. "I'm not creative." I'm like, what do you mean? You imagine particles and help. You are helping to conceive of the rules that govern the entire universe. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't touch it with your hands. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. And you're telling me that's not creative. So it's just recasting, because I think a lot of times, in the way that a lot of creatives say, "Well, I'm not a business person." Well, if you want to eat, you'd better be both. You know, you'd better be creative and savvy at what you do if you don't want this to be a hobby, if you want it to be your career. So really, the number one thing is getting out of your own way and not believing what other people say. And also, as you said, knowing that where you are today does not mean that's where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, you may not come up with the idea that shatters the universe, but there's a whole lot of potential and opportunity between having none and being Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's great advice. Okay. Final question as we wrap it up. If you could put your creativity consultant hats on and applied it to healthcare. So the majority of our listeners are innovators, entrepreneurs, leaders in the healthcare space. Not all, but most are. And healthcare could use a dose of creativity. How could we work through our challenges more creatively? How could we apply more of a creative flair to our work? As people outside the healthcare industry looking in, what would you recommend?
So this might sound naive, but I think it applies in a lot of industries. When we talk about change, we oftentimes think of systemic, cataclysmic change, right? So how do I change? You look at it. How we provide healthcare? Let's get back to the continuum thing. That could be how you do it across, you know, globally, nationally, statewide. Get down to what's something achievable that I can change today. So Matt and I are big believers in that limitation is necessary to real creativity.
Yes.
That having an infinite number of choices can be paralyzing, but having some bits and pieces to work with is really necessary. What are those things that bother you about how the system works? Preferably something small that you can do on a local level, you know, even in your own office or in your own practice or in your aspect of what you do, that you can think about, you know, what's bothering me? How can I get where I want to go? Or if I were a patient, how would I want this one small thing to change? And start there on an actionable thing rather than the system as a whole, which is gargantuan and massive. And I think that that's the same in any industry, is when we ask a question like that, you immediately get people thinking about eating the elephant in one gulp. We eat the elephant one bite at a time. So what's something that you can change and try today that you can even A/B test? And then if that is successful, or measurably or demonstratively successful, how can you communicate that to others and build on it?
Yeah, that's great advice, Tim. What do you think, Matt?
Gosh, that was great, Tim. I had no idea you had this wealth of expertise around, guiding healthcare delivery.
Isn't that the mark of a creative, a real true partnership, that after 30 years we can still surprise each other?
Yes.
We're bookending this thing by blowing the other person's mind.
I think the thing that I would, lean toward is this, again, this idea of connecting with each other. You know, whether that is... sort of when you go to the doctor's office, are there ways that the staff there can be trained to sort of really connect with the patient? Maybe there's like a grab bag of questions that they've been armed with, like, you know, where they're asking a little bit more about their life, or, you know, some of the creative stuff they're doing out there in the community, or what have you. But I don't know. I think what we've learned over the last 3.5 years of doing these projects is that when you make an effort to truly connect on a human level with each other, really anything is possible. So, I mean, I quite love, even from a business to community standpoint, you know, what Blair Primus and the folks over at Ortho Carolina have been doing is awesome too, right? Like, they are sponsoring nonprofit initiatives and creative initiatives all around Charlotte, including our own, in a way that you wouldn't necessarily expect from a healthcare provider. But as a result, they build up massive amounts of goodwill in the community. And that is the beginning of relationship. That is the beginning of relationship. And so, I don't know, just always thinking of ways from either a person-to-person level or on an entity-to-community level, finding ways to create authentic, empowering connections. I think there's some magic lying there.
One more thing is being as transparent, or at least intentional, with people as you can be. So, again, in what Matt and I do, which is very different than healthcare, if we're going to do a magic trick, we explain what we're going to do, and then we're not afraid to explain why we did it that way afterwards. And so that's one of the things in the healthcare industry, I think, over time people have built up, if you're outside of it, this thing, I'm going to go witness something and not exactly know what happened, why it happened, and how much I'm going to be charged for it, what have you. And a little bit of information, helping clue people in, is probably would go a long way.
Great feedback. Yeah. Awesome.
There we go. We've solved all the problems.
Well,
there
we're
it
done
is.
Now.
We're done. Okay. Well, Matt and Tim, I have very much enjoyed this episode.
Same here.
And thank you both for joining us today. And I'll be sure to include all of the information about Charlotte is Creative and all the different projects that you're doing on the show notes.
Yep.
And would love for people to explore more about that, because it can be applied in lots of different areas. And to our listeners, it's possible that you have a Creative Mornings section in your city, wherever you are. And so I would advise you to check those out as well. But thank you both so much for your time. This has been awesome.
Thank you much, Ben. And we would invite people to sign up for the Biscuit at BiscuitCLT.com because you get a sense of Creative Mornings and the spirit and joy that's there injected into that media channel.
At the very least, you get to see a funny video every week.
That's right. That's right. We'll make you laugh
fun
once
of each
a week.
Other in Charlotte.
Outstanding. Well, this is Ben Tingey with the Sherpa's Guide to Innovation podcast. Thanks for listening.
Couple of like it didn't start out this way, but the last couple of years, like we both grew up Catholic. We went to Charlotte Catholic together,
and
we were roommates in college too, so
yep.
But at any rate, people will go, now I have to confess, like I haven't been to Creedmoor. It's so funny, like they talk about this like, please forgive me, in the way that we'd be like, look, I didn't make it to church yesterday. You know, I'm really sorry. And it's
confession.
Funny, I mean, because we both said that I think both of us, to attend something like Creative Mornings, we had to
run it,
host it, and run it, because I was the king of like signing up for stuff and going, I got deadlines, I don't think I can make that.